at times is becoming farcical. And you have to really feel for these players and management. This isn't normal in any shape or form.
For your first chance to hear Brian O'Driscoll on OTB, download the OTB Sports app and turn on your notifications.
OTB AM with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
Richie Farcell, have you been to Yerevan? Have you been to that part of the world?
Afraid not, Johnny, no.
No.
I'm a bit of a homeboy.
Yeah, true. You were at the Breeders' Cup, to be fair. There are some junkets in the race and journalism game that haven't gone away.
Yeah, it's a busy week, Johnny. I'm sure you'll understand that. I'm sure you'll appreciate it. It is a busy week for the few days that you're there, but it's great. I first went in 2018, and obviously I missed last year because of the pandemic, but I thoroughly enjoy going over. I've been to Del Mar, been to Santa Anita, and been to Churchill Downs, so it's a great gig to do. And I would never have been an American flat racing man previously, but you know, it's great to do something different like that and see how they do it over there.
Yeah, like I love going racing over there, I have to say. We have you on, Richie, I suppose, to talk about the racing calendar over the next week or so after Christmas. But firstly, the Freddie Tulitzky case, it's given a lot of prominence just in the back of the Irish Examiner. Tommy Lyons and the lads do great work on the Examiner with regard to racing. And the Freddie Tulitzky case, so he won a high court claim against Graham Gibbons for negligent riding, which resulted in a fall that left him with life-changing injuries. Now, I would argue myself that there's been an awful lot of coverage of the Bryony Fost-Robbie Dunne case, which was big, but this is really, really big. And it's obviously a horrific case and because of the paralysis that befell Freddie Tulitzky. But this court judgment, Richie, big, big news in racing.
It is, yeah, and you could go beyond that, Johnny, and say it's potentially big news in sport. You know, when you have high collision and dangerous sports, you know, whether it's rugby or racing or, you know, American football, whatever you want, there's always the potential for serious injury and, you know, holding people culpable in that environment when, you know, everyone is riding to win, for example, and it's a high pressured environment, you know, holding people culpable is something that, you know, hasn't been done. But it's worth pointing out really that the judge in this case, Judge Karen Walden Smith, has kind of warned against that. And I'll just read you some of her comments, Johnny, if you want. She said, I stress that the threshold for liability of negligence is a high one. The finding does not set a precedent either within horse racing or sport generally. So she has addressed that specifically there. And just further on it, she kind of reported hearing a suggestion that a ruling in favour of Tulitzky, this is from Chris Cook's piece in today's Racing Post, I should add, would make it very difficult for any jockey and indeed any sportsman or woman to be confident that they would be able to compete as hard as they can in order to win for fear that they could be sued if someone suffers an injury. But she rejected that line of thinking, adding for emphasis that this case is a standalone and not the thin end of the wedge. So on the one hand, you know, everyone is kind of scrambling a bit, wondering, you know, what does this mean? And is it going to have serious ramifications in terms of all sports bodies gaining insurance and whatnot? And whether it sets a dangerous precedent, her comments would suggest otherwise and that the case has been taken on its merits. I suppose there are various factors here worth considering. Maybe first of all, on the day it happened, Johnny, the hearing was kind of hastily convened, if you like, because Freddie Tulitzky was obviously not in a position to attend.
Yeah.
And I think Jim Crawley didn't attend either. So you can't have a satisfactory hearing if the relevant people aren't there. So that's on the BHA stewards to some extent. You know, they didn't defer it at the time. And obviously the injuries then suffered by Freddie exacerbate the case. But it shouldn't really be that way. You know, the injuries, whether someone is paralysed or tragically killed in an incident like this, shouldn't really matter. The bottom line is interference in racing needs to be policed properly, and that is something that hasn't probably happened over the last number of years in Ireland or Britain, maybe more so in Britain. It's, I think, 12 years since there was a dangerous riding case in Britain, since any rider was found guilty of dangerous riding. Now, we don't know. I mean, obviously, the court didn't rule whether this was an incident of careless riding or dangerous riding, because that's not their jurisdiction. They don't abide by that rule book, if you like. But 12 years without a dangerous riding incident, it doesn't really stack up. There was one actually here in the autumn, and there was one here 2 years ago, you remember, at Cork. There was one at Ballinrobe in the autumn. Mm. So we've had a couple recently. But the fear of the whole thing is, with the authorities, is if they find someone guilty of dangerous riding, that they will then be open to these sort of claims. So that kind of then in turn fosters a culture of, you know, anything goes, winning at all costs, as we've discussed frequently before. And that's a pretty dangerous environment. So I must say, am I surprised that this has happened and it has come to this? No. If, you know, I have to say that I'm not surprised it came to this, because it hasn't been policed properly over the last number of years.
Yes. Jim Crowley obviously made statements in the court as well in relation to what may or may not have happened that day that are very, very important to the case. But you rode for many years. What actually happened here from a jockey's perspective?
I would love to know, to be able to answer that question honestly, Johnny, but it's very hard to get a replay of it. So I can't. What I can tell you is what was reported in that, and they have basically found that Graham Gibbons came across Freddie Tillicke's mount and basically caused that horse to fall. That's basically what happened. This is, as you kind of alluded to earlier, this is something that has been discussed a lot recently. And it's something that the stewards just, bottom line is, they need to do better on, because the jockeys will ride to the rules in each country. If you remember a few years ago in France, or a lot of the time in America still, and other foreign jurisdictions, the jockeys ride to the rules as they are implemented in that country. And in France previously, before the rules were changed, jockeys kept straight because they knew they had to, because if they didn't keep straight, they were going to get thrown out. End of. If you interfered with someone, you went behind them. It doesn't happen in France anymore, and it has never happened in Britain or Ireland, basically. So the jockeys ride accordingly. They'll take the suspension on the chin for careless riding. Once they win the race, they're happy. That is something that has to change. And this case might be a timely reminder at this stage for the authorities to come down harder on these things. You might remember a couple of months ago, Johnny, I did a piece with Aidan O'Brien, actually, and he came out very strongly on this. And it wouldn't be kind of, you know, it wouldn't be Aidan's kind of way of doing things to come out so forcefully. He has obviously, you know, seen his own daughter injured in an incident. And he was very strong at the time in relation to the Matron Stakes that Shane Foley rode what he felt was dangerously. And I put it to him at the time, I said, well, hang on, Ryan Moore in the Champion Stakes half an hour later drifted fully across the track and allowed his mount to do that and carried Tarnow with him. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, he said, that was careless. I think he said something along the lines of, and I'm
trying to recollect here.
I think he said that Ryan should have got 10 days for careless and Shane should have got a month for dangerous. I might even have it here in front of me.
But even on that, like that would be like completely out of kilter with what happens. Even for him to say Ryan should have gotten 10 days would have been massive. And obviously Shane effectively saying he rode dangerously or whatever for 30.
Yeah. What he said was Ryan should have got a week for careless and Shane should have got a month for dangerous. Mm. It's not rocket science. Mm. Now, that's fairly strong talk from a man who we know is fairly careful with what he says. So, I mean,
Sorry, Richie. The thing here, Shane, is that like you don't, you know, you have your wide interest in sports, Shane, but people do not realise the dangers that jockeys are. This is just on the flat, not even riding over fence. If you're riding at 40 miles an hour on a relatively hard all weather surface, if you fall and there are 14 horses around you, you're in big stuck here.
Yeah, and I guess the point on this, lads, is that the skill of the jockeys has to come into effect. Like, Richie, you mentioned a couple of the quotes from the judge, Karen Walden-Smith, in this particular case. And, like, one quote that stood out for me when I was reading about this, what she was talking about, she said, and Nellie Dean, of course, was the mount with Freddie Tillicke was on board, and she said in court, if Mr. Gibbons was not aware of Nellie Dean's presence, he clearly should have been. So, clearly in this ruling, Richie, the judge has given benefit of the doubt that Graham Gibbons is an experienced enough jockey and a jockey at that level should be aware of the horses around him.
Yeah, and it's one of the first rules of race riding is you have to be aware of the people and the horses around you, because, you know, if you go out and you ride without due care and caution for them, accidents will happen and people will get hurt. You go back to even... You'll remember as well, Johnny, again, this one will be very familiar to you, the very tragic incident at Galway many years ago with Sean Tierney.
Yeah.
And Timmy Hooligan subsequently. Timmy, by all accounts, you know, held himself responsible for his role in that, and unfortunately took his own life subsequently. Mm. Like, that is the ultimate tragedy in relation to something like this. You have one man who died as a result of the fall, and another man who blamed himself for it.
I'd argue that he's been almost written out of Irish racing, tragically.
Yeah, it's very sad. And that's an extreme case, but that can happen. And horses can get falls and get hurt and get killed, and jockeys can get falls and get hurt and get killed. So that is the environment within which they operate, and they have to ride accordingly. And anyone who isn't kind of going out on a daily basis, you know, with that sort of mindset in their head, you know, that they need to, it's not just about winning. It's like, there is a difference between shutting doors and tactical race riding and subtly being dangerous, which can happen. So that is something that, as I say, the stewards need to be more proactive on. It's been kind of going on long enough, and enough of us have been talking about it for long enough now, that they need to start picking up the ball on this and doing better on it.
Just, you mentioned Chris Cook as well. He had a brilliant article on this in conjunction with the Briony Frost case at the time and the weighing room sort of culture. And I'm going back to the 1st of December here. Jim Crowley tells High Court that Graham Gibbons' breath smelt of alcohol on day of Freddie Tlaithe collision. And as Chris wrote about at the time, This is a very, very difficult case, because obviously if this were the case and you thought that somebody who was riding in a race smelt of alcohol, obviously you got to react there. But Chris's point was that there's an emerta maybe in the weighing room that needs to be challenged. I don't know what you made of that.
Well, there's a whole discussion there about that. I mean, the times have changed, and we all have to accept that. And, you know, there was a time when lads used to go out with a stiffener beforehand. And when I was riding, plenty of lads used to ride like that when they'd have been, you know, had a hairy night the night before. That sort of thing is not acceptable anymore. And that is why we have breath tests and alcohol tests and so on. And yes, I think there's, you know, you can look at it now and say, why didn't the senior jockeys intervene? They probably should have. But it's easy to say that now. It's hard to walk up to someone on the day and tell them they shouldn't be riding, or to go into the stewards and say, I think he needs to be breath tested. Whereas that culture obviously hasn't existed previously, and it's something that needs to be looked at. You know, the weighing room culture has obviously come in for a lot of stick lately. I can only speak from my own experience in there. It was always very positive. But when someone has a problem, you know, there needs to be structures in place, or there needs to be people they can speak to, whether it's, you know, a chaplain of some sort or a welfare officer. They need to be able to go to someone. We have to keep up with the times in that respect. There's no doubt about that. When you look at the Briony Frost case, you know, she obviously didn't feel she could speak to anyone, or that she wasn't being listened to properly. Certainly that seems to be the insinuation in relation to the PGA. So, I mean, you know, she... There was a failure there, I suppose, on behalf of senior jockeys, on behalf of the PGA, on behalf of the BEHA, that none of them stepped up in time. Now, we're talking about a different case here, so I don't conflate two cases. But if you're talking about that aspect of the weigh room, there was a lot of failures there that it led to what it ultimately led to.
Richie, just one on something you mentioned there, the fact that, you know, it's hard to get footage of this race at Kempton from 2016 in which this terrible incident happened. Was that the case in court? I mean, we're talking about a very short space of time here. There's only, it's a 4-second space of time in which this incident is said to have happened. So clearly the court were able to come to a judgment regardless. Mm-hmm. But did they have the footage in court, or was it?
Oh, yes. To the best of my knowledge, they did, yes. And they showed it, and it was all kind of gone through. I'm just not aware that it's in the public domain at the moment. A lot of the time when there's an incident like this, they get taken offline, which you can understand. And when I looked for this previously, I couldn't find it. I don't know if you've seen the incident recently, Johnny.
No, I didn't. Personally, I probably wouldn't want to watch it. I did see, I actually was looking for it there. I saw one of the tabloids today has a still image of sort of the incident. And to be honest, that's as much as I've seen. I guess with respect, I wasn't making a judgment on the case. And with respect to Freddie, I simply didn't want to watch that. And I think Richie, that's the whole point, that you're not able to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they've just—it's the same when horses are seriously injured or fatally injured. They tend to tend to remove it because it's unfortunate and no one really wants to be seeing it. It's not to hide these things, but
yeah,
it's not comfortable to view.
Freddie and Richie, of course, have something in common. They're former jockeys who have gone on to become very good in the media. Richie, you will be flat out over the Leopardstown, Limerick, Down Royal, Kempton and all of that going on from the 26th onward. Obviously, Leopardstown, 5,000 people, which isn't ideal. It's a lot better than none, though. You must be looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a great few days again, Johnny. It always is. You might have seen Gordon Elliott's comments in the last few days that he's anxious for good, safe ground, which is a slight concern at Leopardstown.
This
in
is
recent
December,
years,
Richie.
So.
How nuts is this? It's not even unusual anymore.
It's not. We've had it in December and February for the Dublin Racing Festival. So hopefully they will have put on plenty of water and we'll get all the good horses that we want to see there. There's some great racing in store. I was kind of fond of the 3 mile chasing category, and you've got Delta Work going up there, and we've obviously got Minelindo, of course, going to Kempton for the King George as well. That should be a cracking race.
What a King George as well! No Irish winner since Kicking King in 2006.
Yeah, he won back to back. It's remarkable. Yeah, it's just one race that we have not had a bounce of the ball, and Vitor got chinned in it a few years ago. Don Cossack fell in the same race, two out or three out when he was running a big race. So we just haven't had the bounce of the ball, but given the way things have gone this year, the Irish horses are winning everything basically in terms of the marquee British jump races. So you'd imagine it would be, it's a good opportunity for us to get one in that again. And of course, Rachel Blackmore will be doing the steering. She's had a year like no other. It's just incredible what she has achieved, and she's getting all the accolades at the moment in the various awards. So it'll be good to see Minelindo show up well in Kempton as well.
And the best day of the year to buy the Racing Post is, of course, Christmas Eve, because you get all the cards for the 26th.
That's right. And you get Gavin Lynch's column this year as well, John. You know Gavin.
No, he's no good. No one about sport.
He's a great man for looking ahead and seeing how all these races are going to impact in terms of the Cheltenham Festival in the months to come. And his column will be in the paper on Friday.
Yeah, Gavin is top notch. Christopher Henry on YouTube, can I get a birthday shout out? You'll make a South Derry lad very happy. And I hope you have a great birthday, Christopher. Richie, we're talking about things that people got into during lockdown. Shane Hannon, you'll be very impressed that Richie went from being a bit of a novice to an open water swimmer. And Richie, this has become a massive part of your life, getting into the open sea.
It has, Johnny, yeah. I don't know why we're talking about me now, Johnny, but yeah, and I'm actually sporting my Clonakilty Dolphins shirt, if you can see it, or a hoodie.
Is that the club?
No, it's not even a club, it's just a group of us on WhatsApp, and it's a group that's growing all the time. I swam for 12 months from kind of August to August through the winter, just in togs and only kind of, casually swimming for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And I said 2-3 times a week all winter last winter. And it got to, when it basically got to 12 months, August this year, I kind of wanted to challenge myself a bit and get out of the comfort zone. So I started doing a bit of distance swimming, and I fell in with this Clonakilty Dolphins crew, and they're a great bunch of people. And we get out kind of most days, even at the moment, certainly 4 or 5 days a week. It's been a real challenge. And as you say, I would have been very much in beginner mode even a few months ago before I joined these guys. And I remember the first time I went out in choppy waters, and I came in pretty quick. I wasn't able for it, and I wasn't ready for it, and I wasn't expecting it. And in the space of a few months, I was out there yesterday, and it was fairly mental out there, but you get comfortable in it and you learn how to cope in it. And your technique improves the more you do, obviously, like anything. So yeah, it's been great. I've got a great kick out of it, and looking forward to, when the long distance swims pick up again in the spring and summer, looking forward to doing a few more of them.
I can only imagine what's in store for you in terms of long distance swims. Richie, thanks a million for your time.
Thanks, folks.
OTB AM. With Gillette, put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.